Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden's reacting to the Supreme Court ruling giving presidents absolute immunity for official acts while they're in office.
For all practical purposes, today's decision almost certainly means that there are virtually no limits on what a president can do.
That decision does not apply to unofficial acts. CBS's Graham Cates says Mr. Trump's attorneys are already asking the verdict in his hush money case be thrown out.
He's already been convicted, so his lawyers first send a letter to the judge requesting to file this motion seeking to overturn the conviction.
A powerful Category 5 Hurricane Beryl is headed west through the Caribbean. St. Vincent and Grenadines Prime Minister Ralph Gonsalves.
It has left in its wake immense destruction, pain, suffering across our nation at this hour.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WAUK News is sponsored by Horizons Law Group, where they educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best. Horizonslaw.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A plea hearing is set for the 18th for the mother of missing 3-year-old Elijah Vu. Katrina Bauer and her boyfriend, Jesse Vang, are facing child neglect charges unrelated to Elijah's disappearance in February. Vang is due back in court in September. The Republican National Convention starts in less than 2 weeks. Milwaukee is busy getting ready for 15,000 delegates and other guests. Allison Prangy leads the host committee. She spoke with WISN-TV's Up Front.
We want to wow them. I think a lot of people coming to this convention have never been, maybe to Wisconsin, maybe the Midwest. They don't really know that much about our state.
But not everybody's busy. The Pabst Theater Group tells the Recombobulation Area website that most of its venues have no events booked for the RNC. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Another body has been pulled from Milwaukee's McKinley Marina. Firefighters recovered a second body from the water yesterday afternoon, identified only as a 43-year-old man. The discovery follows the retrieval of 33-year-old Tevin Fowler's body on Saturday morning, marking 2 deaths in just 3 days. Police aren't saying much about the discoveries. Weather watchers in Waukesha are seeing good things. It looks to be okay for launching fireworks tomorrow night. Lowell Park will be hosting the Neighborhood Beer Garden and Fireworks event, kicking off at 6 with food trucks, drinks, and live music. The first 5,000 people to show up will get free glow bracelets. The bombs are expected to start bursting in air at around 9:30. There's a beach hazard statement out for Lake Michigan beaches today. It warns of life-threatening waves and dangerous currents through tonight. Waves could reach up to 5 feet. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
It's the Brewers and the Rockies tonight.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Rockies in game 2 of their 4-game series in Denver. Last night, the Rockies held on to win 8-7 in 10 innings. Brewers outfielder Garrett Mitchell finally back in action after a year plagued with injuries, shoulder surgery, a broken left hand, a hamstring.
I mean, the thing is for me, it's like obviously I've missed a lot of times with unfortunate circumstances. But like the work, just even on the mental side that I put in, I feel like has helped me kind of stay in tune with everything that's been going on.
Mitchell with a hit last night in 2 at-bats. How good is he? Christian Yelich.
Oh, we'll see. I mean, you know, he really hasn't played a ton of games. You know, he's a special athlete when he's out there. He might be the fastest guy on the team.
NBA, the Bucks signing 32-year-old guard DeLon Wright, whose last team was the Miami Heat. College football, Hardy Watts, one of the highest-ranked offensive linemen, has committed to Wisconsin. 6'6", 290 pounds out of Dexter High near Boston, the same school where JFK graduated from. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WAUK weather is sponsored by Planet X in Brookfield, stocked with the freshest cigars at the best prices, 173rd and West Blue Mound Road.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible today and tonight. Then things will start to clear out a bit as we head into tomorrow. Today, mostly cloudy, rain and thunderstorm, 75 tonight, 69 tomorrow, partly cloudy and warmer with a high near 86. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Introducing Brookfield's newest cigar and vape shop, Planet X. They have endless options with their wide variety of products. Experience luxury in their expansive cigar room, stocked with only the freshest cigars. And the best part? Planet X offers the cheapest prices in Brookfield. Open to serve you Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. until midnight, and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Come in today for cigars, vapes, and much more at Planet X.
50% of marriages end in divorce. Many of you listening may need our services. I'm Michelle Fitzgerald, founder of Horizons Law Group in Brookfield. Every divorce is different, so we offer a range of options, including flat fee, limited scope, mediation, and traditional divorce services. Don't go it alone. Educate yourself. Call Horizons Law Group, 262-432-3600, or visit horizonslaw.com. Horizons Law Group, where we educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday is my birthday, the big 6-0. What are we doing on the show? Whatever I feel like, because I'm old and I can do whatever I want.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it was a rainy morning and I think it's going to be rainy all day today.
Yeah, well, that's okay as long as it's not raining on Thursday, right?
Yeah, and I think we should be in the clear.
All right. Listen, it's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, how you doing?
Does Calvin control the weather? That would be great.
Yeah. Listen, we've got a jam-packed show for you this morning. And I just want to say, I got a call yesterday, and I'm on the phone with a friend, and his number kept popping up, and it's a 248 number. And I was saying, hey, number keeps popping up and I don't want to answer it because I know it's some, you know, one of those,
yeah,
hey Earl, how you doing?
Right. Yeah.
And so I ignored it twice.
Long hesitation, yeah. Before and then Earl.
Yeah. And I ignored it twice. And then the third time I said, let me answer this call. And it said, hello, is this Earl Ingram? I said, yes, it is. I said, who is this? I didn't say who was that. Who is this?
Yeah.
But it's the White House. How would you like to interview President Joe Biden tomorrow, Wednesday? And I'm like, on the air? and so, yes, we'll have the honor tomorrow. I don't know what time yet of having President Joe Biden appear on these airwaves and live. So I'm really thrilled and excited about the prospect, Sandy, of having a couple minutes with the most powerful man on the planet, on Civic Media, and on the Earl Ingram Show. So, I think I owe a lot of that to you because of the conversations that you and I have, the depth of the conversations that we have twice a week and that you and I have been having for over 3 years. The segment that we do always deals with the real issues of the day, and the fact that, you know, folk in the White House think that the conversations that we have are worthy of having the President of the United States call into this show. So I owe a debt of gratitude to you for this even happening.
Well, I'm not sure that's the case, Earl, but I do think our show is maybe a little bit different than lots of radio shows in that the way we try to get at things and talk about things. So maybe they think so, too.
And so today's show will be no different. There's so much going on, so much to talk about. But I want to begin the show, Sandy, with 60 years ago today. And man, 60 years ago, I'm sure you remember this time.
Oh, I do, absolutely.
Then President Lyndon Baines Johnson signed into law the Civil Rights Bill. And I just want to read a couple sentences of what he had to say, because I think when in history, there's some things that we want to try to forget in the history of our nation. And that we don't want to teach about, but this is one that should never be forgotten. And here it is 60 years later. President Lyndon Baines Johnson, "We believe that all men are created equal," Johnson said, "yet many are denied equal treatment. We believe that all men have certain unalienable rights, yet many Americans do not enjoy those rights. We believe that all men are entitled to the blessings of liberty, yet millions are being deprived of those blessings not because of their own failures, but because of the color of their skin. The law which would cement equal opportunity for employment would have far-reaching implications 8 years later. Title IX of the Civil Rights Act would be signed into law prohibiting discrimination based on sex and education and in programs receiving federal funds. Johnson called the Civil Rights Act of 1964 a challenge to all of us to go to work in our communities, in our states, in our homes, and in our hearts to eliminate the last vestiges of injustice in our beloved country." Sandy, I remember that time. I was a young boy, but I knew the impact that it had my parents and my uncles and aunts. And I remember how they were in rejoicing because they were adults and they came from the South and they lived through those things. And it was the first time in their lives that they felt like something was going to change. Your thoughts?
Well, I think when you look at history, and LBJ in many ways was not my favorite president as I lived through him, but what he did there was such an act of unique political bravery, because he was elected by the Dixiecrats. The Dixiecrats were the Democrats of 1960 and 64 were a party that was a union between Southern Democrats, who were Jim Crow favoring Democrats, and Northern unions, okay? And that was the odd bedfellows that comprised the Dixiecrat Democratic Party. And Lyndon Johnson, when he did this, when he used all of his political muscle to pass the Civil Rights Act, knew at the time and said, this is probably the death of the Democratic Party as we know it. And it was. Richard Nixon and the Republicans in 1968 realized what had happened. And from 1968 on, the complexion of politics and red and blueness has switched, you know, it changed dramatically. So he did a very brave thing politically. He got it passed. However, you know, as a country, we should realize that 60 years later, we still have that part that he talked about where we have to investigate our hearts and minds to solve for the problems that the Civil Rights Act was intended to solve.
Yeah, you know, I certainly reflected on it when I realized, you know, at that time as a 10-year-old boy, having watched television and what was going on in Selma and Dr. Martin Luther King and all those things that impacted my life, even as a young boy. And so to think that 60 years later, man, time flies, right?
Yeah, when you're having fun, or even when you're not.
and you know, Sandy, and then we'll move on from it, but it is reflective, and it should be reflective. Here it is 60 years later. Have things come full circle? Have the beliefs and those eloquent words that former President Johnson spoke been realized? I would say to some degree.
I mean, I would say the one of the proofs of this is that you can't pass laws that have a direct cultural impact or have a direct change on the culture. The intention of the law is there. The law is there to be used and has been used to solve inequities. But we still have latent in our system that problem that Lyndon Johnson talked about, which is the part where we have to search your heart and mind to solve for the embedded problem that was racism.
You know, and to a degree, the present president of the United States has been kind of working, Sandy, and trying to address some of those issues. People can say what they will about President Biden, but part of what his platform has been is kind of aspects of what President Johnson talked about.
Well, I think Biden is very committed to and actually obviously has a great deal of a number of allies in the African American political community, and it had a great deal to do with him getting elected president the first time. So yeah, absolutely. But I think what we have to do is resist the impulse that is in our DNA, which is tribalism, and the forces of tribalism. And I fear that right now, at least, there's a great deal of social pressure moving in the wrong direction with respect to that.
Sandy, we've got a lot of territory to cover this morning. As I said to you, sometimes we come in, we scour and try to find something to talk about, and then maybe we may be pressed into, heaven forbid, talking about Caitlin Clark and those kind of things, because there's nothing else. But there's so much happening, historical things that are happening as we speak that they'll be talking about in the future. The Supreme Court is right in the middle of all of it. Sandy, before we get into all of that, Supreme Court was supposed to not be partisan, right?
Well, the Supreme Court, I think, has always been reflected would be that it would have ideological bents, that there would be conservatives or liberals that would get appointed or whatever the nomenclature would be of the time, because they're presidential appointments. But the notion was that it would be an independent branch, that it would work hard at maintaining the integrity of the three pillars of government, and that once on the Supreme Court, the verity of the laws would be that what would cement the justices together in their pursuit. You know, there's plenty of room for argument within the law about how certain laws might be interpreted. Okay, so you know, I think there's always been an understanding that after you go to law school, you realize that the world is gray; it's not so black and white. And you can go this way, you can go that way, but the Supreme Court lately has become very activist. It was accused of being very activist during Felix Frankfurter's period, which is the period of the New Deal and FDR. And I think now it has achieved a great deal of activism in the opposite direction. And it exhibits and is the field of warfare with respect to an ongoing war against what is called the administrative state, which I would refer to essentially as the government after the New Deal.
All right, Sandy, so as we come back, I want you to give a synopsis of where we are right now, what has transpired, where our nation is with all these decisions that have been made. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday, that means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Whether it's a picnic in the park or a cool and easy dinner, when it's too hot to cook, sandwiches in summer go together like peanut butter and jelly. And there's no better bread to build your favorite sandwich on than Country Hearth Natural Breads. Try their Dakota-style 12-grain or 100% whole wheat bread. Bake the old-fashioned way with whole grains and real honey. Country Hearth Hearty Breads are not only a nutritious choice for your family, but a delicious one too. Country Hearth Breads, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
It's another fun summer event in downtown Waukesha as WAUK welcomes River Rhythms back to the Riverwalk every Wednesday from 11:30 until 1. Enjoy live music with your lunch at River Rhythms. On July 10th, see Advanced and enjoy Phoenix Mobile Grill. Either eat the food truck offerings or choose from any of downtown's great places. Make plans to stop by Wednesday from 11:30 until 1 at River Rhythms in downtown Waukesha from 5:40 a.m. and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, wait a minute, Calvin. This is not England. Oh, anyway, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show.
As always, we fought a revolution, so we wouldn't have to sing this song.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2780. Sandy, you sure you're playing the right tune?
Yeah, I was playing the right tune.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, what is that?
Well, that's God Save the King. It's the anthem, the English anthem. But, you know, and we fought a revolution, so we wouldn't have to sing it. But I chose it, and I wish it was tongue-in-cheek. But I do think that the Supreme Court decision yesterday on immunity, and particularly Sotomayor, Justice Sotomayor in her dissent, made it clear what it is that's the issue here. And it really does create something like a monarchical presidency to give such immunity to the conduct, whatever it is that's deemed to be the official conduct. So when the president is acting as commander-in-chief, when he orders the SEALs to do something, that's an official action. And when he's taking official action, this decision says when he's taking official action, he's immune. Well, so when he orders the SEAL team to do what? Sotomayor even used it as an example to assassinate his political opponent. That's immune from, not only is it immune from prosecution, but the justice, the majority decision said that evidence that relates to it can't be admitted in court because it's subject to the privilege of the presidency in its immunity. And so, you know, this decision is very remarkable, and it is part of a whole subset of things that have gone on, which when you stand back, instead of talking about each one of them, you stand back and look at the landscape, is the culmination of a war on government that really probably started with Ronald Reagan when he said, you know, the worst words you can hear is we're here from Washington and we're here to help you. And that started a whole process of being against the government as we then knew it, which was a government inhabited by civil servants who work in agencies, who implement laws that are passed by Congress but need to be fleshed out by the agency. So, and that was the fabric of the New Deal. The New Deal, before the New Deal, we had very few government agencies. After the New Deal, we needed to have agencies to implement things like the Food and Drug Act. So we needed the FDA. We had the Civil Aeronautics Act. We needed to have the FAA to interpret the law, to pass regulations, and to implement the law. And that's the way our government has run. And then we had the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act passed under the Nixon administration, bipartisan passage, but it required a great deal of agency action because Congress would be ill-equipped to figure out what the best practicable control technology would be to implement to control water pollution. And that was, and the whole Clean Water Act was premised on setting broad standards for fishable, swimmable waterways. And then it was up to the EPA to figure out how to get there. And the statute set out a framework, but that framework couldn't be as specific as would be required to implement the law. And it was up to the agency then and its experts. And we've had in place for decades and decades the notion of primary jurisdiction. If something is in the expertise of an agency and is committed to an agency, that agency is supposed to act first, and then the courts are supposed to pay deference to the expertise of the agency. Well, all of that has been put into question with the decision by the Supreme Court several days ago, throwing out the so-called Chevron doctrine. But the Chevron doctrine was this notion that deference would be paid to the agency with its expertise in the manner in which it interprets the law and fills in the gaps in the law. And so what has this done? This has severely hampered the capacity of agencies to operate. It will require that legislation that is passed be far more definite about all of the elements. And so if the Clean Water Act were passed today, Congress would have to spend probably years in hearings trying to figure out all the words that need to get put into the Clean Water Act to give the agency very specific instructions on exactly what it is that needs to get implemented. And so that's really disabling the capacity of government and the legislature to pass laws to regulate our economy and to regulate the conduct in the economy. So ever since the New Deal, there have been many people who have wanted to make it much harder, maybe impossible, for government agencies to do what they do. And this action, this Chevron action, has gone a long ways towards doing that. Furthermore, the action on immunity has clearly changed the balance of power between the executive branch and the legislative branch and the capacity to have oversight over the president. It leaves it essentially open only to the action of impeachment. And so, you know, there's been worry in the past about impeachment being overused. Well, the Supreme Court has basically made it nigh onto impossible to use the judicial system to bring a president to task for what he does. It's given him a great deal of license to be free and clear of potential personal risk for what he does. And so it's going to make impeachment essentially the sole tool for reining in the conduct of a president who is now given great ambit, much like a monarch, that's why I picked the music, to be immune from the law.
So, Sandy, let me, with all of those things that you just talked about, and there are many more that you're going to be, and we're going to be discussing in the show this morning, I can't help but just fathom that a lot of this has been put in place by the Supreme Court, those three of them who've been selected by former President Donald Trump, to benefit Donald Trump. And more so than anything else, these things have now come to pass, these particular things, because, you know, we want to make sure that Donald Trump, one person, gets a, well, how should I say it?
Well, a free pass.
Yes.
Well, I think a lot of it, you know, the conservatives that were on before the three that were nominated by him, I think were similarly directed, Neil Gorsuch particularly, and Clarence Thomas. And
Roberts.
And Roberts. I think Roberts is the most moderate of the six conservatives.
Yeah, but he's...
And
he's
has demonstrated moved, it. Well, he's
moved more to the right since the other ones came.
Well, I think yes. And I think his position on the administrative state might square with Neil Gorsuch, who's really doctrinaire on this, wrote law review articles of it decades ago on his desire to basically disembowel the agencies, make it much harder for agencies to operate unilaterally in any fashion, and would put the onus on Congress. Meanwhile, the conservatives have figured out how to paralyze Congress and are hell-bent to protect, for instance, the filibuster. And so we end up with a system in which the legislative branch is paralyzed, the administrative agencies are now going to be similarly paralyzed, and we're vesting a great deal more power in the executive branch, in the executive himself. The executive branch includes agencies, but at least the prior president and the president wannabe is running against administrative agencies.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
The Shaw, WAUK.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks. With 18 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin, go to freedomfireworkswi.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Many school districts across Wisconsin can expect more money from the state next year. 57% of districts will get increased aid, but 30% will get less. The Milwaukee School District is getting an $81 million cut. It's mostly because of past overpayments while the district failed to properly report financial data to the state. People who buy electric bicycles in Minnesota are getting rebates from the state. Lena Reynolds is with the Environmental Law and Policy Center. She says e-bikes are a good alternative to gas-powered vehicles for short trips around town.
In places that have done e-bike rebate programs like this before, I know Denver, their average participant replaced 22 miles of car trips a week. So that's a lot of gas that they're not burning.
The rebates are meant to make e-bikes more affordable for more people. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Beach time today could be tricky. A beach hazard statement has been issued for Lake Michigan beaches in Racine, Kenosha, and Milwaukee counties. It warns of life-threatening waves and dangerous currents through tonight. Waves of 2 to 5 feet are expected, creating hazardous swimming conditions due to high waves and onshore winds. Although rainy, authorities are urging people to stay out of the water and away from piers and breakwalls. A jury duty scam is going around in Waukesha County. Scammers are impersonating law enforcement officials in the ruse. The Waukesha County Sheriff's Department says the calls are not generated by their office, and they're warning that legitimate jury-related communications never involve demands for financial data or immediate payments. People are advised to report any suspicious contacts to the county clerk of court's office and their local police. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Kevin Costner says he is aware he only makes movies for men. Costner told the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast that making movies for men is what he does. Costner admitted that men love to watch him in cowboy hats, and he loves to be watched while wearing cowboy hats. Costner also said men are more dismissive of mediocre reviews as long as the men they are watching are wearing cowboy hats. I took liberties with a lot of that, except the part of him acknowledging he likes to make movies for men. Here's a Pete pick you might want to take advantage of for some midweek movie watching fun. Check out A Quiet Place Day One. The film has no huge stars, but is really well directed and paced. The scares and feels are first rate, and the best part? Watching it with a crowd where no one is making a peep because they feel like they are actually in the movie and will be attacked by aliens if they do. This is the third installment of the Quiet Place franchise and third film in a row that has reviewed very well. It doesn't disappoint. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weather brought to you by Mosquito Joe of Waukesha. For a SWAT-free summer, call 262-232-7570.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible today and tonight. Then things will start to clear out a bit as we head into tomorrow. Today, mostly cloudy, rain and thunderstorms, 75 tonight. 69 tomorrow, partly cloudy and warmer with a high near 86. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
It's that time of year again. The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 18 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to freedomfireworkswi.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
What's bugging you?
A family picnic in our own backyard sounded like a great idea, but no.
They know what's bugging you, and Mosquito Joe's Mosquito and Tick Service can fix it. Call Mosquito Joe of Waukesha County. They'll give your yard an effective treatment that starts working immediately to eliminate those pests. Mosquito Joe, making outside fun again. Call Mosquito Joe today, 262-232-7570.
Crude and Dom.
Joe Biden addresses the nation on presidential immunity. We'll have all the coverage. We'll also see whether or not he's had SEAL Team 6 on speed dial this whole time.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird singing.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, why the music?
Well, the first piece was God Save the King. The rest of it through the end of the show is going to be by the King, Elvis, which I think we would all be okay with. He was the king for a while. But, you know, we're talking about a Supreme Court decision today that even the dissenting justices feared had a monarchical impact, removing a guardrail that was everyone assumed was within the Constitution, which was that no president's above the law.
So, Sandy, let me go through some of these texts because they're very informative and there's a great conversation going on, and then we'll come back to you. Anyway, Sandy can come to join you for the interview. Oh, that's about okay. The current Supreme Court of the United States is simply bought and paid for, according to Brendan. Tony responds, maybe the president shouldn't pick justices. Maybe lawyer associations or legal experts should, like the cardinals selecting popes. Brendan, Tony, I could agree, but doesn't that just shift the private jets and fishing trips to a different group? We need to end lifetime appointments. Tony, yeah, I fully support term limits, just thinking of ways to separate the corrupting powers of the executive branch from the corrupting powers of the judicial branch. I agree, Trump ran on picking the Supreme Court of the United States that would overturn Roe. Andrew in Maine. The president must be a Canadian-born citizen. The justices must be from Nigeria, and the legislature must be U.S.-born citizens. Make those billionaires spend their money all over the world. Tony, they've certainly got enough money to afford it. For all the talk of the Trump team not knowing how the system works, they have figured it out now and are using the system to break the system. Andrew from Maine, as one legal commentator notes, Supreme Court of the United States gets to decide was his an official act, which might vary depending on which president is performing the act. If I were Biden, I would be half tempted to start pushing the boundaries now and forcing the court to set the precedent based on a Democrat president. Not that they can't change their mind when a MAGA president comes along, as they have proven. 844-967-2789. Sandy, you began the show by talking about what a harrowing time we are in. And you were kind of pensive in the way you were speaking, as if something has happened, a seismic shift has occurred.
Yeah, I think
that we may not be aware of.
I think one of these things where the revolution has already happened. The war on government as it was has occurred, and I think the revolution has already happened. That's prevailed. These decisions this past weekend, when you look at the Chevron in particular, and what it does to the capacity of administrative agencies to administer, you can see that people, Donald Trump, the version of republicanism that he's running, runs against the government that is the executive branch. They're running against the agencies and the capacity of the agencies to do what agencies do. And so the executive branch itself is divided. It's decided to essentially move away from having a large executive that includes a bunch of agencies that are filled with experts designed to deal with the complicated world that has evolved since 1900 in our country, And furthermore, we have a judiciary which has decided to vest the executive with a great deal of power, much more power than was imagined 5 days ago in terms of the sanctity of the executive office and its capacity to do any and all things and be immune from at least being subject to the law, okay? It's still subject to the political constraints of impeachment, but with respect to the law, apparently everything goes in terms of conduct that is deemed to be official. And when they described what is official, it has much more to do with who the president is talking to and where he is physically situated than it has to do with the intent of what it is that's being talked about. So apparently if the president talks to his confidant, the attorney general, and talks about killing his wife, that's not going to be subject, really. It's not going to be evidentiary. It cannot be used as evidence against the president based on the words of the Supreme Court.
Let's go to Jim from Eden. Good morning to you, Jim. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sandy's been talking about the Chevron case. And I was just wondering, you know, it really boils down to that our representatives, you know, Congress that represent us, you know, who has the most authority? You know, the agencies, the EPA or the CDC, you know, or the representatives and us, the people. You know, according to the Constitution, you know, the people have more authority than the people in agencies, the experts in these agencies. And that's what the court was saying, that we're going to give it back to the people.
Well, it may be,
rather than the agencies.
I mean, if you want to take it down to a very simple sort of dumbed down conversation, you can take it that far. But that isn't really the full impact of Chevron. You could say that that's the outcome. But if you're going to control, if your objective in legislation is to get rid of smog, okay, that was the Clean Air Act, and smog was the main problem with, and there was ozone, and there's particulate, and there's sulfur, and there's all kinds of air emissions that were problems, okay? And so Congress didn't have enough knowledge about all the science that would go into making the air breathable and to create a circumstance in which smog could be eliminated. So they created the Environmental Protection Agency, filled it with experts, and they set standards for the air. Same with the water. They passed the Clean Water Act. They said that you had to apply treatment standards to industries which were consistent within the industry. You had to use something that was like best practical control technology for the treatment. But they didn't know what those technologies were. Congress couldn't be expected to know that. Furthermore, those technologies would evolve into the future, and only experts would be able to understand how they evolved. And so rules aren't, you know, but there are courts there that require that rules that are implemented be consistent with legislation and authorized by legislation. That was already the law. That Chevron was simply a way of implementing that concept. But when they reversed Chevron, the language they used will make it necessary for the Congress to enact laws that have all kinds of definite standards within them that Congress is not in a position to elaborate. It'll be almost impossible. So not only is Congress paralyzed based on the partisan divide, but it's going to become paralyzed based on the complexities of how the laws will have to be passed and what will have to be included in them.
Jim?
We should have experts that advise. I agree that. But in the courts, they were saying the experts always win. And the people had no chance against these agencies. And that's what they were addressing.
Do you agree with the rendering based on Chevron?
Well it, you know, I think we'll have to wait and see how the courts interpret this reversal of Chevron, but Chevron still required that there be legislation underpinnings for that conduct of the agency. They simply said that when the legislation is vague, that they will pay deference to the expertise of the agency to figure out what the purpose and intent of the legislation was to fill in the vague parts of it, okay? And so Well, I was talking about the very same thing. Legislation necessarily has to be broad languages with standards, and there is necessarily vagueness built into it based on the limitations on the knowledge of Congress with respect to science. But I would say that what this decision really does is it hands the keys to K Street, the lobbyists, who will be in a position to, number one, draft the legislation that has to have all sorts of complexity in it, number one, and number two, to oppose legislation that is unduly complex if it appears to be burdensome to the industrial side of the coin that they represent.
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you. You say what?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. You know, this unfortunately follows a very long and lengthy path of voting against the public interest by the Supreme Court. If we have been paying attention, unfortunately, 99% of us have not been paying attention to this. You know, a lot of us have been watching this devolve, since, quite frankly, the 76 and 78 corporations are people and money speech flawed decisions. Nowhere in the Federalist Papers, nowhere in any administration would you find anything like this concentration of power that appears that the Supreme Court is allowing. It's against every thing in the spirit of the Constitution. It blows the balance of the executive branch, judicial branch, and legislative branch in the smithereens. And finally, the courts are supposed to be the furthest away from the people. They're supposed to be the less significant of all the branches, executive and judicial and legislative. Because the judiciary, many of the judges are not accountable to the people. They don't have to run. So in a lot of areas, I think what we see here with the Supreme Court is we've seen a nation, instead of Congress doing their job, we have now found ourselves in a place where Congress does not do their job. And I think the reason why is they know that they've got this stacked court. Remember, all the judges that McConnell was installing during the summer a few years back during the Trump administration, because he had the opportunity to do so. Well, now, because we let that happen, basically, all the chickens are coming down to roost. So, you know, I think this may end up being as big of an issue for the upcoming election as abortion. Because people know when they're getting their feet stomped on. And we can't allow the Supreme Court, who are unaccountable to the public, to continue to do things that are adverse to public interests. It doesn't make sense that we, the people, sit by without just a major, major uproar and uprising. What do you think?
Hey, Mike, very well said. Sandy, hold the thought. 844 967-2789. You know, it is a somber moment, Sandy, but I think that with the depth of the conversation and the things that have been done on a level that the average American doesn't understand, you know, this conversation is way above what the average American thinks or understands as it relates to how our government works. So they look at a person like Donald Trump and say, that's my guy, but they don't understand what he's representing and the impact that he's having on their lives long term. You can respond on the other side. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host, Sandy Williams.
Listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Check, check, one, two. These sounds can only mean one thing. It's Summerfest!
Milwaukee, are you ready?
600 artists, 12 stages, one epic lakefront. Don't miss three unforgettable weekends of music, June 20th through July 6th. Summerfest, presented by American Family Insurance. Find tickets, lineup, and more at summerfest.com.
Today's WAUK Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Ristorante Casa Noble in Waukesha. This Taco Tuesday, they're dedicated to bringing you the finest Mexican cuisine. Savor mouthwatering tacos, crispy tostadas, savory enchiladas, and indulgent chimichangas. Join the fiesta today at Ristorante Casa Noble. Go to WAUKradio.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and immediately receive 50% savings on your Big Deals gift certificate. WAUK Big Deals.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, I said.
All right, welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And if you're just joining us, you know, all the different decisions that have been rendered by the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, in the last couple of years, especially in the last week or so, have Sandy, talking about a broader issue that is taking place in this nation that he's had a dialogue about, a conversation about, that is, as he stated, changing the landscape of our nation. It's already happened, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, when you combine the paralysis of our legislative branch at the federal level, and you look at the concerted efforts to mold legislative districts into a gerrymandered kind of certainties to try and disable voters from having much impact at the margin. And when you then look at the way that courts have been attacked in terms of loading them with ideologues that have a particular outlook, and when you look at the fight against the so-called administrative state that had its birth in the early fight against the New Deal and FDR and the growth of agencies to implement all of the protective legislation that was passed during the New Deal, FDA, FAA, SEC, all of these agencies, the EPA then in the 70s, all these agencies that are designed to implement complicated laws
To protect the people,
to protect the environment,
right,
to create breathable air, to create clean water, to make safe our financial systems. All of that has required that agencies have some latitude to exercise their expertise, because you can't expect Congress, with its diverse group of members, to be able to pass complex legislation that would embody all the rules that would be necessary to implement these laws. And this is a great deal of it has been caused by the evolution of our society into very complex issues. The Industrial Revolution has fostered a great deal of it, safety at work, et cetera. And so now we find the coupling with the paralysis of our legislative, we now have a couple of decisions in the court, one of which is in a series that has attempted to disable agencies from issuing rules in any sort of easy fashion, making it very difficult, putting the courts in charge of the rules ultimately, so the courts will determine in the and have to exercise the expertise that was exercised by agencies after this rescission of Chevron. And now we vest in the president essentially monarchical kind of immunity, giving them a great deal of sway. I think under the rubric of this decision, Watergate would not have been illegal.
Do you want to go to the phone lines before we go back to the phone lines? You want to respond to anything that Mike had to say before we had to break?
No, I mean, I think he can see the fact is that when you step back and instead of counting each of the trees, you look at what's happened, I think you can realize that we've come to a profound place that historians will look at what's happened over the last 25 years and the actions of the Supreme Court, and they will say there is a great deal of change in the balance of powers.
Let's go to Vincent from Lennon. Hey, Vincent, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing well, Earl. I'd like to ask Sandy the question. I think he kind of answered it for me. The fact is we have a person in Donald Trump who has stated that once he's elected, that he's going to basically dissolve some of these agencies, such as Health and Human Services, the IRS, and things of that sort. Does the decisions by the Supreme Court that they just passed, does that make it easier for him to do, to basically shut these agencies down?
No, the decision makes it harder for those agencies to do the work they do, but the ability of the executive branch to shut down agencies will be limited by whatever the enabling laws are that enable the creation of that agency. But it is easy for the administrative, for the executive to submit budgets to the, that will severely disable these various agencies. And he's got in his sights the agencies you described, as well as the FBI, the CIA, a bunch of agencies over which he does have a great deal of control.
Thank you.
Hey, Vincent, thank you very much. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning. So I'm just going to throw this out there to Sandy. And I realize you're a lawyer in the energy sector. Getting back to the Chevron situation. So if you remember last year, the Supreme Court shot down the student loan forgiveness. Last year, it was a $400 billion executive order that was using the HEROES Act in order to do that. So it got shot down 6-3. So what happened was, in the Chevron Act, what that enabled Biden to do is, oh, well, we'll look for a different law that's already on the books. We won't pass it through Congress like we should. And we're going to find a different way of trying to get student loans wiped away.
Well,
and so.
Well, let me stop you, Dave. Chevron had everything to do with the Environmental Protection Agency and with the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act. It didn't have to do with executive orders that in which the order might be created more or less out of whole cloth, because many executive orders are premised strictly on the implicit powers of the executive office, for instance, the emergency powers. So that Trump's order to constrain immigration during the period of COVID was premised on the emergency power of the presidency to issue orders to protect the safety and health of the United States. And so we're talking apples and oranges here. Chevron really relates to the extent to which agencies would have latitude to interpret the laws that they have been vested with to implement. And it's not the same as the executive order problem, where the executive has to find a basis for their executive action in laws. So I think it's an apples to oranges comparison.
What I would say to you then, Sandy. Why can't
David, hang on. David, hang on. 844-967-2789 is the number. Our phone lines are open, as always. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll discuss the implications of the Supreme Court's ruling for Jack Smith's continuing case in 3 days of Joe Biden's top 100.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Celebrate Independence Day with Waukesha Parks Recreation and Forestry at the Fireworks on July 3rd, presented by Core Reinsurance. Head out to Lowell Park for food, music featuring the decade, and a neighborhood beer garden starting at 6 p.m. Complimentary globe bracelets from Educators Credit Union are available while they last, and WAUK will play patriotic music during the fireworks on 101.1 FM. Head downtown for the parade on July 4th, presented by Core Reinsurance, starting at 11 a.m. Thursday morning. See you there.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming